Not those lions. Three lions we can get behind.
And he hoofed it.
There's more pressure being ratcheted up with a loss like that, of course.
Just getting the head boxed off, should that just kind of happen.
For all your Lions coverage this summer, download the OTB Sports app.
The OTB Podcast Network with GetsetGo. Quick start car insurance that's ready when you are. Sort your policy anytime online at GetsetGo.ie.
Mullen, our very own Ronan Mullen, is with us on the line. Morning, Ronan.
How are things, Nathan?
I'm all right. So from a boxing point of view, the feeling going in was that, you know, we had big medal hopes, particularly with Kelly Harrington, possibly with Michaela Walsh, and that for a lot of the male boxers, maybe 4 years' time was going to be a better opportunity for them, that this would be a bit of a learning experience. It's been a big learning experience, I think, for a few of them over the weekend.
Yeah, like at a certain point, it's very much draw dependent, and that's certainly the case for the boxers so far, particularly Michaela Walsh and Emmett Brennan. Emmett Brennan was basically handed an impossible hand, like the Rizmatov guy that he was drawn with, an unseeded fighter technically, but really is one of the gold medal favourites. And Emmett Brennan was on a bit of a hiding to nothing in that one. But you kind of have to take each of these fights in isolation, each of these fighters in isolation, because for Emmett Brennan, getting to the Olympics, not to demean his achievement or to demean any route that he could have had to the podium, but getting here was an amazing achievement from where he came from, seeing as a couple of years ago, you could never have foreseen. The story's well told at this stage that he was had to get a credit union loan to fund his training in the latter part in this tilt towards Tokyo. You know, wasn't necessarily on the radar for an Olympic spot and got there. So I think in the cold light of day, he'll be able to look back at it positively. Michaela Walsh, on the other hand, every ounce a podium talent, like the draw just did her in this time. Again, you go to the seedings, she's a seeded fighter, one of the top four fighters in her weight category, and she comes up against Irma Testa, who beat her in the gold medal match at the qualifier in June. So it doesn't really make sense that Michaela's first fight would be against somebody like that. Just didn't work for her, didn't gel for her style-wise. She actually started all right, but I think it was a decisive enough victory in the end. And then Brendan Irvine this morning, again, like, it was kind of a 50-50 one. You looked at the draw and thought it's a winnable fight for him. But it just, again, he didn't quite put his pedigree into practice in that opening round and was always playing catch up. That's the way these things are. Sprint finishes and he just couldn't get the job done. And then you go to Kurt Walker on Friday, who, you know, that was almost, I don't know, you sometimes get a little bit disengaged from Irish sports teams a little bit. You're trying to cover them somewhat objectively, but I was unbelievably nervous before the Kurt Walker fight, just on the same point as Michaela Walsh, because you know this lad has all the talent and he's got a kind of a tricky assignment first up and a really difficult draw next time around. And you're just hoping he can deliver on it. So I was delighted when he won. So if we'd have been talking then, Nathan, I would have been all positive, but it's kind of a gloomy enough morning after watching three defeats on the spin.
Yeah, and as you say, the draw is all important in this. And, you know, the Michaela Walsh fight, if that was a medal fight, nobody would have been shocked and probably should have been a medal fight. And it was hard this morning pre-fight not to get excited because I think the top seed in that category had already been beaten. So you're thinking if Michaela Walsh can win this, she probably would have been favoured to actually go on and win the gold medal. She was very gracious in defeat because these are two fighters who know each other very well. And listen, I don't know how much you can learn in the space of 10, 15 minutes in a ring, but Michaela Walsh has a big, big future ahead of her.
Totally. And in her prime years, and it's kind of a little bit annoying in that sense that you could have forgiven her if she was a little bit more, I don't know, disengaged in that post-fight interview, but she was so magnanimous, just a great representative of Irish boxing. And she's been building to this moment for so long, like three medals at European level, twice a Commonwealth Games finalist. And as I said, she had the pedigree to do something big here. And it was just an awful draw, like whatever way you look at it. Like some fighters are just sort of your kryptonite, and this is just the case, a rangy fighter. And Michaela would back herself to outbox anybody, but just sometimes the dimensions get the better of you. And I was so impressed with how she started the fight with her feints, and she was up on her toes. And you could tell that defeat in June was fresh in her mind because there was a sense then that it was a gold medal fight in a qualifying tournament. It's not the end of the world. She could have been forgiven for switching off in that one because she'd already done the main thing and qualified. But that was probably playing in her mind that she had to start fast, and she did. But like, it was just a numbers game in the end. The reach was too great, the distance, and the way Testa was able to implement that distance. And this is a top fighter, Italy's first female Olympic boxer in 2016, and she's come back again. So she just had that little, like, extra bit of experience that which belied her age in some ways. She's only 23, but she just set to the task really quickly. And yeah, you feel sorry for Michaela, as you put it there, Nathan. She, if things had have paved out for her from this fight, she could easily fend herself. Well, she would have been fighting for a medal in her next fight because she got a bye as a courtesy of that seeding. So that this was the last 16 fight, she would have been into the quarterfinals with a win here. And it was, like, as these things can be, a close fight, but at Olympic level, it only needs to be a slim margin, and that was the case.
It was hard not to get emotional watching Emma Brennan in his post-fight interview. I think he expressed so well what it meant to him to get to the Olympics and what it meant to his family, but also what he expected when he got there. As you say, it was a heck of an achievement with all he'd been through, both out of the ring and with his injuries as well. What's the immediate future for Emma Brennan then?
It's hard. It's a hard one because I think, like, the word on the street, as it were, is that he might, because he'd taken such a sabbatical from boxing, as it were, came back about 5 years ago, put it together, stepped into the breach after some top, like, Irish boxing legends basically stepped away in those higher weight categories and found his path to Tokyo. There's a sense that he might call it a day, and what better way to step away after an Olympic Games? But there is a sense that his style is very suited to the pro game, we've seen, and it's not as if he's trying to sell himself, but he's just put across as such a captivating personality that there's bound to be promoters looking at him thinking there's something we could work with there, not to mention his talent in the ring. Like, even yesterday against an elite fighter, he was able to get some shots away. And as you touched on, he mentioned that, I think it was the rib injury which flared up again in that first round. And to his credit, you wouldn't really have noticed the way he finished so strongly and left it all out there. So there's definitely a future for Emma Brennan if he wants it. Like, he's kind of a household name in the last month, a meteoric rise, and, like, such a personable guy. I'm sure he'll find a spot in boxing if he wants one.
I didn't get a chance to see Brendan Irvine's fight. Was it a close one?
No, it was an awkward one. It's kind of the reverse of the Michaela Walsh situation, where Irvine had the dimensions in his favour, but Palam was just such a little dynamo that he was getting 1-2 combinations up through the middle, hooks as well. And by the time the first round was over and done with, like, Palam had won that quite convincingly. Irvine did manage to stem the tide a little bit in the second round, but by then the writing was on the wall and he couldn't quite turn it around. He went to the Rio Games, obviously, very young. He's still only in his mid-20s. And, you know, if he wanted, he could definitely rally again and go back for a third crack at the Olympics. But he has another one who's kind of been beset by injuries a little bit. He was the first Irish person to qualify at that sort of ill-fated qualifying event last March, in March 2020, before the whole thing was called off. So he's been waiting around a long time to get this second bite of the cherry. I'm sure he's dispirited that he's out so quickly, but he's team captain of the Irish boxing team. And to that end, he's going to be a crucial person to have around to kind of pick them up now, because there are still three boxers left who haven't boxed yet. Kurt Walker obviously has his last 16 bout on Wednesday, but the likes of Aoife O'Rourke, Aidan Walsh, Kelly Harrington in particular, there are routes to the podium for those three. So, like, his experience is going to be crucial. And obviously Michaela has the familial link, her brother Aidan. It's a remarkable story, but he's in action tomorrow. So there's still reasons to be cheerful. It's just off the back of three successive defeats for the Irish, it's you can be forgiven for being low. But much like Rio, again, you have to kind of take each one of these in isolation. Obviously, we look back there, you had Michael Conlon, Katie Taylor, but there were some good stories, like, mixed in among that. David Oliver Joyce, for example. And similarly, I think when we look back on it, Emmett Brennan got his Olympics. You know, I don't think Irvine will look at it satisfactorily, but he got to a second one. Michaela Walsh would be gutted. But if we can come away with, if the likes of Kurt Walker can get to a podium, Aidan Walsh has a path, as I mentioned. Aoife O'Rourke is kind of the surprise package a little bit, but you wouldn't put it past her. And Kelly Harrington, obviously, is the one we're kind of all hanging our hat on.
Friday, is it? I think we have to wait to see Kelly Harrington.
Friday, I think 3 a.m. Irish time. This is tough, Nathan, I have to say, getting up to watch all these fights. I think when the World Cup was on in Japan, I was over there, thankfully, so I didn't have to get up to watch, I don't know, Tonga against Fiji or whatever was happening at those hours. But you know, this it's quite tricky. I think hopefully as some of these Irish boxers progress the latter rounds, obviously there's so many boxers at the moment that they have to run a full slate of fights throughout the day.
Yeah.
So by the time it gets to the latter end, like semi-final, final stage, they will be sort of midday time, so much more palatable for an Irish audience.
I forget, when you're so young, when you say the World Cup, you're talking about the Rugby World Cup and not the 2002 World Cup, where I made the fatal error of staying up all night to watch Brazil, England, and fell asleep before Ronaldinho's goal, which is the worry with these late nights.
Watching that before going to school, on, as I've mentioned on Twitter, that stand, that wheelie television stand that's brought into classrooms.
Think of beauty.
Unbelievable stuff. I was going to invest in one just for the Olympics to sort of cast back
for nostalgia
to Sonia winning that silver medal. But like Sonia Sullivan winning silver, and I just sort of trying to appreciate the gravity of the event when you can barely understand what you did the day before was quite something, but still sticks with me, Nathan.
There is a lot going on at the Olympics, obviously, as I say, if you can. Funnily enough, with the way the rights deal has gone this time, I don't think anyone quite realised that there had been a change to the television rights deal. So Discovery in America paid a humongous amount of money to get the rights. They own Eurosport, so they're the main rights holders, which means that the BBC, who usually do unbelievable coverage where you can click on the red button and watch everything, that's not there. They're only allowed to show a couple of things. And I think RTE are in a similar enough scenario. So Eurosport is the place to go if you want to watch, you know, suddenly you decide, I do want to watch France, South Africa and the football yesterday and see Andrea Pierre-Gignac get about 36 score a hat-trick for France. These are the things you can do on Eurosport. I was talking earlier about some of the things I've enjoyed so far, the women's road race and the men's triathlon last night. I was so tempted, but I just had to hang on and watch Mayo yesterday because Timmy McCarthy was on the other channel and it was France, USA. I remember going to watch these in 2012 and when Tony Parker, is Tony Parker still part of this French side?
No,
long time.
No.
Gone. But France beat USA. Is this a heck of a shock?
It is, and I think you told me that story before, but Kobe Bryant was there in 2012, and like journalists could certainly be forgiven for being awestruck, but the norm actually in international basketball at these events is that the actual players are awestruck by the American team. Thankfully, that's no longer the case. This is a global game now, and everybody's playing catch-up. Like, even look at the NBA. Nikola Jokic is the MVP this year. Giannis Antetokounmpo, who we talked about in the show before, Nathan, won two MVPs on the spin. So this is no longer an American-centric thing, and the French showcased that in spades yesterday. Timmy McCarthy put on an absolute clinic. He was really enjoying it, and we were all enjoying it with him. But like as you mentioned, a little bit of complacency, I would say, from Team USA, and it's kind of been borne out in the preceding like sort of exhibition games where they were beaten by Nigeria. And like they're still prohibitive favourites to win the gold medal, but it's still... Like America should not be getting beaten really at all in Olympic competition. And while they've sent a semi-diluted squad, as we touched on, LeBron James is off doing Space Jam, so he's not there. And there's a few other maybe notable names that aren't there. But Kevin Durant, there's a strong argument to be made, is the best player in the world, and he's there. Damian Lillard's there. Do you know, like on the strength of even those and the supporting cast, which is stellar. You know, it's quite disappointing. And like France had started quickly, USA rallied back to take a lead in the fourth quarter and then just totally disintegrated. And the closing play, which is, I'd encourage people to go back and look, where Evan Fournier drains a three-pointer, but just the preceding events where France managed to recapture the ball and work that position was incredible. It's a pity it's not like a semi-final or something where it's still a group stage and the likelihood is USA will navigate their way back. And to be honest, for the importance of the competition, it's probably a good thing that they're going to be there. But I think this is one that people will remember regardless.
Roland, great stuff. Are you going to nap? Are you going to power through?
I don't know. Aidan Walsh is up at 3 a.m. tomorrow, so I'm going to have to sort of think that one through.
You got to sleep sometime.
I know, but I've got the PM show is coming at you tonight, Nathan, so I have to sort of prepare myself for that as well, but sure, we'll discuss that later.
It's almost 10 to 9. Get yourself 3 hours sleep, Ron. You'll be good to go again. Great stuff from Ronan Mullen. And just a reminder that the OTB Sports Olympic Show in association with Indeed is live from 5 o'clock tonight across the OTB channels. The OTB Sports app is the best place to listen in, so you can download that right now for free in your app store.
Nah, not those lions. three Lions we can get behind.
And he hoofed it.
There's more pressure being ratcheted up with a loss like that, of course.
Just getting the head boxed off, should that just kind of happen?
For all your Lions coverage this summer, download the OTB Sports app.
The OTB Podcast Network with GetsetGo. Quick Start Car Insurance that's ready when you are. Sort your policy anytime online at GetsetGo.ie.